मीठी मीठी सी ये मुनिया सर पे डाले है ये चुनिया क्यों हाँ क्यों हो सोनी सोनी सी कुड़ी नू मौज में रहने दे ना दुनिया क्यों हाँ दुनिया क्यों है किन्नी शानदार कुड़ी ये कर देगी कमाल इसे झूमने दे अपनी बीट दे कुड़ी नू नचने दे हाँ नचने दे तू आज लगाने दे ठुमके हाँ चुमके कुड़ी नू नचने दे हाँ नचने दे तू सारे या फिक्रा नू छड़ के बन ठन के कुड़ी नू नचने दे हाँ नचने दे तू आज लगाने दे ठुमके हाँ चुमके कुड़ी नू नचने दे हाँ नचने दे तू सारे या फिक्रा नू छड़ के बन ठन के कुड़ी नू नचने दे पाजी ओ उखड़े उखड़े क्यों खड़े जी हंसते तो हंसते की दुनिया भी हाँ जी ओ आए जो ऑन द फ्लोर कुड़ी तो खूब मचाए शोर तू भी झूम लेना इसकी बीट दे कुड़ी नू नचने दे हाँ नचने दे तू आज लगाने दे ढूंढके हाँ चमके कुड़ी नू नचने दे तू सारे या फिक्रा नू छड़ के बन ठन के कुड़ी नू नचने नचने दे नचने दे आज लगाने दे ढूंके हाँ चमके कुड़ी नू नचने नचने दे नचने तारे या फिक्रा नू छड़ के बन ठन के कुड़ी नू नचने दे
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
Yeah, I'm Mishuna, also from Hudson High School.
I'm Lena. I am a student from MCS Middle School, maybe.
Maybe.
My name is AJ. I go to school at Libri, and I'm 9 years
old. Sounded funny without the years
nine
old.
Centuries old.
You're 900 years old. You're so old. Anyways, we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish thing.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I said bookish things because I had to rush it so that no one else would say it before me.
And so we're going to do that this week. We're going to talk about some books and bookish things, perhaps. I actually don't know what everyone's going to talk about. It's a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone have a mystery to talk about? No mysteries?
Not really, no.
I want to read a good mystery.
Mm-hmm.
They're fun.
I love mysteries.
I hardly ever solve them before the end, but when I do, I feel really smart, and I like that.
I hate when mysteries end up on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, I've had that with some books where it's in the first book in a series, and I like when the first book in a series has a clean ending, so you could just stop right there, but you want to read the next one so badly that you go in. But I hate when they leave you with a cliffhanger because it's
yeah.
Then you feel pressure to read the next one, and I don't know. Even if it was a great book, that pressure is not fun. But anyways, does anyone have anything interesting to talk about that they've been reading?
Well, I have a book of books.
A book of books?
An anthology, then.
More like book of stories, but all these stories could be made into books. And I like it because you can choose any page and you're in a different story.
What's the title of the book?
It's in a series. This is volume 4. The Bookshelf of for Boys and Girls, Stories and Songs from Many Lands. It has some Greek mythology in here and stuff.
I do love Greek mythology.
I feel like I've read every single one of those stories and I'm trying to find a different one.
Do you have a favorite one you've read so far?
The Sword of Damocles.
What's that about?
So it was about a king and a not-so-rich person who traded places, and then the not-so-rich person, well, they traded places for only one day, and then the not-so-rich person got scared because there was a sword hanging only by one horsehair on top of his head. And he said, "I want to leave!" And the king said, "I sit under that chair every day, and I'm afraid unless some move might kill me." And then it said, "Okay, I don't want to be a king anymore. Goodbye."
Yeah, it doesn't seem very safe.
I know.
No. It doesn't.
In general, I wouldn't sit beneath the sword, but definitely if it was just held.
He didn't even look up until it looked like it was about to break.
Ooh, that's really when you shouldn't look up.
I know.
Ouch.
Do you have a book to talk about?
I do. I just finished a really good audiobook called The Mighty Heart of Sunny St. James by Ashley Herring Blake. And I had read another book by Ashley Herring Blake, I think last year, called Ivy Aberdeen's Letter to the World, which I really liked. And I really like this is one where I judge the book by its cover. She has these cute little like cartoony covers.
Oh, that's so cute.
That are really pretty, have like fun designs. And it often has the back of a person's head, which is interesting. So it's like you get a peek at the characters, but you don't get to see a face. So you don't like have to imagine a person exactly how they look on a cover. But yeah, so it's called The Mighty Heart of Sunny St. James. And as you might guess, the main character's name is Sunny St. James. And she is 12 years old, and she's just gone through heart surgery. So she's just getting out of the hospital, and while dealing with, you know, recovery from heart surgery and knowing how close she was to death before, she's also dealing with reconnecting with her mother, who had left when she was younger. She's been raised by a woman named Kate, who is sort of her mother in the absence of her birth mother. And so she's just getting to know her mom, and then she's also meets a new friend named Quinn, who she's getting to know, and also dealing with the repercussions of having told her friend Margot, who had been her best friend for forever. She had opened up to her friend about how she had thought about kissing girls, and her friend betrays her. So she's also dealing with the loss of that friend.
One of things on my 100 feet. On my 100 things that I want to do in my life list.
What?
Tell a friend a secret and then have them betray me.
Yeah. So it's, you know, you get to see her summer of all of this going on. There's also some fun things. Her new friend Quinn is really cool. And her mom, I forget what her exact job is, but she does a lot of like ocean-based work. So she gets to go out on the ocean, and her biological mother, who she's reconnecting with, is a surfer. So she gets to learn how to surf. And then she and her friend Quinn are on a mission to have their first kisses that summer. So they make a pact that they're going to figure out how to have a first kiss. So it was a really fun story, but it also has a lot of like heart, and it's a nice balance of like, it's not too heavy, but has some like tough moments, because life has some tough moments. Especially when you're 12 and going through heart surgery. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice middle grade novel too, that it's not too young and it's not too old. Somewhere, it's like a nice tween read.
It sounds good.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. So yeah, Mighty Heart of Sunny St. James by Ashley Herring Blake. So that's the second book by her that I've really liked. So I'll have to try out another one. I think she had another one that came out last year that sounded good too, called Girl Made of Stars. When did that come out? I don't know. Never mind. Oh yeah, it came out in 2018. So who else has a book to talk about?
Our creative writing unit is wrapping up, and we have to make a portfolio of all our favorite works from class. And I don't know if Mashuda has anything to add to that because she's in class with me. But what works are you thinking of putting in?
I don't know. I think I'm going to put like some of my poems there and one of the story that I wrote. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at that yet. What are you putting in?
Probably the opposite on your side. More stories than poems because poems aren't my strong suit.
We've heard some of your poems on the show and they were very nice. But
I don't consider them my strongest thing. Yeah. I usually don't like the poems I write.
So how are you deciding? Are you reading through everything?
Yeah, I have two that I'm probably most definitely going to put in, which is the fairy tale piece and one of the short horror stories I wrote. I'm not sure what the other two are going to be, because for this portfolio, you have to write specifically about what inspired your story, what influenced you, etc., stuff like that.
So you both have to pick the ones that you're proud of and then also ones that you feel confident in writing about?
Yeah. And honestly, I don't know if I'm very proud of my fairy tale rewrite, but it got a good grade and I can confidently write about it, but I don't know how much I liked it.
I forget. Did you do Cinderella?
Yes, I did do Cinderella. Yeah.
Did it come out creepy? I know you were thinking about taking a creepy...
It was certainly creepy. I almost wish I had more time because I feel like the way I wrote it, I could have written really good slow burn horror about it. But because it had to be a short story and kind of concise, I didn't write as much detail as I think I could have, which made me kind of sad and made me feel like I lost some of the effectiveness.
I guess you can always revisit it if you really want to. Someday yeah. in life. Not for your grade, but you got a good grade already anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about Lena? Do you have anything to talk about today?
Yeah. So remember how I told you guys the Chinese version of Cinderella?
Mm-hmm.
So the second part was like she went to the ball and she heard her stepsister telling her stepmother, oh, doesn't that kind of look like Yan Shen? And then Yan Shen got super surprised and worried that her mother would figure it out. So she ran away, dropping one of her golden slippers. And then she was very worried because her fish stopped talking to her. Well, her fish bones stopped talking to her. And so she knew what she had to do. So, like... while she was like being very sad and she's like, wow, my fish bones aren't talking to me, many women were coming and trying to get the slipper on because Prince found the slipper while she was running away. And he was like, I want to marry that woman even though I just saw her, because love at first sight is something that actually exists, logic, I guess. And so women came and they left, and so she had an idea. She would steal it back. So she went to go steal it, and then the king sent out guards, but then he told them to stop, and he told them to go follow her so they could know where she lived. And so she hid the slipper under her bed with the fish bones. And so the king came in, and long story short, she became a queen, and her evil stepmother and stepsister lived in a cave, and Yan Shen found out that they died because of a rock slide.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Hey, I read that book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was funny at the end. How they got hurt by a rock slide. But I think it would have been even more interesting if it had been an avalanche of snow. They would have frozen to death instead of been pounded to death.
It's, like, interesting because it's kind of out of nowhere, it almost sounds like, where it's like, by the way, the stepsisters are dead now. It's just very sudden.
By the way, not only did they have to go and live in a cave, but then they died in the cave.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to the fish bones?
Still alive, and then, oh my god, they died in a rock slide.
I don't really know. They, like, left out the fish bones, but, like, I'm just gonna guess that she took the fish bones with her.
I hope they lived happily ever after, the fish bones.
Yeah.
Happily dead
forever. The fish bones were truly the most compelling character in this tale.
True.
And so I had to write what was my favorite part. And so I put my favorite part was when the fish died.
No!
And then my sister was like, maybe don't write it because it sounds like you want death and destruction. And so I was thinking about, like, saying when the stepsister and stepmother died, but then I just chose that part where it was like when the man floated in the air because, like, I want to fly. Mm. I don't want to walk anymore.
That's fair.
I've read, like, less books than I have had dreams this week that could probably make into books. I've had really, really weird, wild dreams, and it's so strange.
Do you write them down when you
do. I have a little dream book. When I can remember, I do write them down. I try to date them, but sometimes I forget the date that I've had the dream, so I just write them. I have a little dream book next to my bed.
That's cool.
Can you show it to us?
Yeah, it's not very interesting, and I'd have to get up to show it to you, but it's just a small little mint green moleskin notebook, and some of the things I've dreamt about have been, like, one was a nightmare. One was, like, a very vivid nightmare where I was, like, driving down a road and there were too many stop signs. Like, they weren't stop signs just at intersections, like, there'd be stop signs just in the middle of this straight road. There were no turns or anything, and I had to stop at every stop sign, otherwise something bad would happen. But there was also, I also knew something was chasing me, so I knew something was chasing me. I didn't know what was chasing me, but I knew deep in my heart that something was chasing me, but I also had to
stop. And then you had to stop at every stop sign and it could have caught up to you.
That was basically the whole dream. I don't remember when I woke up, but that
very
was
very, like, weird, but very scary.
I did not enjoy it whatsoever.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot.
The other dream probably would take forever to explain, so I'll talk about that after the show because I don't want to take up the whole show with weird dreams I've had because I've had a lot. But does anyone else have any other books to share?
I think Mashuda, do you have anything?
Yeah. I want to share the book I read in school, Perfect Peace, by Daniel Black. I really love that book. So it's just that how the author, like, portrays that, you know, difference between nature versus nurture. So the mother doesn't have a daughter. And so when Perfect is born.
That is the name of the child, by the way. The child's name is Perfect.
He's a boy. The boy, and then, like, she always wanted a daughter, and then she doesn't tell, like, the brothers and the father that she is a boy. So the mother dresses Perfect as, you know, as a girl clothes and makes him wear diapers. But then one day she told Perfect that he's actually a boy. And it's a whole scenario. And then that actually hits Perfect deeply that, you know, he's not perfect anymore because, like, he was always the only girl in that house. And every, like, the father, the brothers always loved her. But now he's thinking himself that he's not perfect. And it's interesting how, like, nurture plays a very important role than nature. Perfect, he himself, like, always knew that he was perfect, he was beautiful, he was a girl, that his family called him perfect, but now he's not, he's thinking himself that he's not perfect.
It's a very good book. I remember reading it, and while it was not, like, it was a difficult book to read, it was a very good book to read. But yeah, that's basically is the story where this mother named, what was the mom's name?
I forgot too,
which is funny because I think she's a pretty important character, but I think her name may have been Eva May.
Emma Jean.
Emma Jean. Oh, Eva May is
Emma Jean's mom. Eva May is the grandmother. She is a character, though.
Eva May is a grandmother?
No, Eva May isn't the grandmother.
Yes, the girl.
Oh my gosh.
Eva May is the girl, like, that.
It was wild. Absolutely wild. Emma Jean is Perfect's mother. She has, I think, 6 or 7 boys. I can't remember, but she has a lot of sons.
That's a lot of boys.
Six sons. Technically 7 because of Perfect, but she has her 7th child and is sure it's going to be a girl. Is so sure it's going to be a girl. So when she has it and the midwife is like, no, it's a boy. She quite essentially in the first chapter basically just looks at the midwife and is like, no, it's not. It's a girl. This is my daughter. You can't do anything about it. Leave my house. And she does. The midwife leaves and she raises Perfect as a girl for several years until she finally can't hide it anymore.
And I think what Emma Jean does that because, like, when she was little, she went through a lot of, like, trauma and, you know.
Yeah. And also her, it, like, goes into Emma Jean's, it goes into Emma Jean's abuse and how she may have wanted to treat a girl, like, the way she never got to be treated.
So that's why. But then when Perfect finds out and he blames everything to the mother, but she wasn't in her correct mental state. I feel like it's kind of her upbringing, basically. It's not her. It's, you know, it's,
yeah,
how she was raised and, you know, like, the all the trauma and everything just plays in her mind, you know.
The book definitely goes into some pretty, like, deep themes, but it's very good if you're willing to, like, endure it all.
It's also, it's not like she never hurt the children, but, like, the father blames it on her and almost,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was very an incredible book. We couldn't go into, like, in depth into all the themes as much as we'd want to without spoiling a good portion of the book, but it is very, very good.
And that's when you read for school.
It's also sad, too, like, I understand why would Emma Jean do this. I know it's not right, but, like,
yeah,
when everyone found out, like, they didn't even, like, people didn't think she was human anymore. Like, she was not allowed to go outside, and her neighbors would criticize her. And
favorite part of the book was the point when Perfect starts to realize he isn't a girl, that he was never a girl. So then it goes into, like, this whole theme of, like, what does he do now? He's always been raised to think that he was going to grow up and get married to a man. He ends up liking
the friends, boys
as, like, well. His brother. But then that brings up, like, the question of, like, would he have always grown up to like boys and girls? Or if he would have, even if he wasn't raised as a girl? It's such a good book, and I don't want to spoil anything, Mashuda. Yeah. It's such a good book. So, it's absolutely insane the book.
The book just ends. I hope, like, we get to know, like, what happened to Perfect.
It ends so abruptly.
Yeah.
It's so weird. I have such a love-hate relationship with this book.
Like, I wish, like, there was a sequel, or, like, we know what happened.
Yeah.
I really wish that there was a sequel, and I could, like, find out that he's okay. Just to be sure,
from
my own mindset, I want to know if he's okay.
What if the sequel would show that he's not okay? Would you still want it?
Then I almost feel
like it ended perfectly the way it did. But at the same time, there is a part of me that's like, oh, why did it end like that?
That sounds like an interesting book. I'd never heard about it until you talked about it. I think you mentioned it briefly on a past show, and I was like, I've never heard of that book before. It's interesting when that happens with assigned reading.
Yeah. Is there a movie to it?
No. There's not. Trust me, I looked. I did look.
Well, you can all dream up what the sequel is. You could write your own fan fiction sequel and give Perfect a happy ending.
Yeah.
But we're out of time for today. But we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. And we hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time.
Yay!
Bye.
Bye.
Happy reading. Follow.